Open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 4. We'll continue our study tonight. I got a neat text this morning. I woke up, I got a text, and it's from Brother Marcus. It says, 12 hours until the study of Elijah. He's all excited. 6 o'clock in the morning, he's texting, saying, 12 hours to go, brother. It was so awesome. I go, oh my. So thank you, Brother Marcus. That was so encouraging. And just to wake up and see that, and you know, it's a joy, isn't it, to look forward to the messages, to look forward to coming to church and hearing the gospel preached, and when we never did want to hear it before, and now we can't wait to hear it, whether it be Wednesday or Sunday or whenever. It's just, we just desire to hear God's words preached and proclaimed. So again, open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 18 to 37 today. And last week we looked at the Shuhamite woman, and she was given a baby in her husband's old age. Doesn't say how old she was, but in her husband's old age. And tonight we're going to see that child's going to die. Most commentators, John Gill said the child is probably between 6 and 7 years old. Goes out in the fields with his dad and starts to feel sick and comes back and lays on his mom's legs and passes away. But then Elijah is going to come at the request of the mom. The Shuhamite woman goes all the way to Mount Carmel, where Elijah is, and requests him to come and says, I'm not going to leave till you come. Oh my. It's a blessing to see. And then we're going to see what happens. The name of the message is Raised from the Dead. So we'll continue looking into the life of Elijah the prophet. Last week again, we saw the wonder-working power of our great God when he gave the Shuhamite woman, who was barren, gave her a child through the workings of Elijah, but it's always by the power of God. By the power of God. It's him that does the miracle. All Elijah is a vessel. Just like every preacher. We're just vessels. I have no power to save. Elijah had no power even to raise this boy. But God can do it. And God's the one who's going to do it. And this sister, she now has a child. She's rejoicing. She has a boy. She's rejoicing at the fact that she has a child now. But she's going to go through a great trial. She's going to go through what one commentator said, every mother's terror. Her child's going to die. But again, we'll see the wonder-working power of our great God, our glorious God, in raising him from the dead. And our dear sister in Christ, this Shulamite woman, I believe, is one of the elect of God. She's great faith. She looks to the Messiah. I heard something really neat. I'm going to write an article about it this week or next week, I think. About salvation is not in a prayer. Salvation's in a person. Salvation is a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's salvation. Christ is salvation. So the Old Testament saints, they're looking to the Messiah for their salvation. We look to the Messiah too. But we look back to the cross. Same Christ. Same salvation. Because salvation's only in Christ, right? Christ is salvation. Again, not a prayer. See, people are bowing their head and repeating a prayer and saying, oh, now you're saved. Salvation's not in a prayer. Salvation's not in walking an aisle, is it? Salvation's in a person, beloved. The Lord Jesus Christ. And rejoice. If you're one of his, he's revealed himself to us. It's marvelous. It's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. So our dear sister in Christ had helped Elijah. Elijah was passing through from Mount Carmel to the other place he had to go. And he was passing through this town. And she had said to her husband, let's build a little room for the prophet, for God's prophet. And he wanted to do something for her. He wanted to bless her, even though she didn't ask for anything. She didn't seek out a baby. She didn't ask for the baby. We're going to see her bring that up too in the text tonight. Was unasked for, unsought for, and yet God blessed her with a child. And she was quite content just living with her people before she had the child. Let's read verses 14 to 17 to see Elijah's response when he asks her if there's anything that he can do for her. And she says, well, I'm content dwelling with my people. And look what it says in verses 14 to 17. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season, and Elijah had said unto her, according to the time of life. So just like Elijah had said, by the power of God and God alone, this woman who was barren had a child. Now let's read, to start our text tonight, verses 18 to 20. And then when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. So he's going out in the fields. He wants to be with his father. His father's out in the fields. And he said unto his mother, or unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. So imagine the great trial now. She'd be given a child. She didn't ask for it. She didn't seek it out. But God gave her a child, and now this child's died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. Again, the child may have been 6 or 7 years old, and we see in our text he died. And what an unexpected event this was. Who would have thought that a child unasked for and given at the instance of the prophet's prayer should still soon be taken away from her? Now we as God's people, we go through trials, don't we? We go through tribulations in this world. And we see this Shulamite woman here before us going through a great trial now. We do not understand God's providential dealings with his people most of the time. Probably 90% of the time. And maybe even higher. We don't understand them, do we? We don't even understand some of the things we go through. But we do know that they occur on purpose. That's the one thing God's taught his people. That these things happen on purpose. They happen on purpose. We don't understand them. But one commentator said, and I like this, they lead us on the path to trust even more in the Lord, to rest even more in him, in his sovereignty. Have you found that true in your life? I found it true in mine. Definitely. Definitely. And let us never forget that Jesus Christ is ever with us. No matter what we go through, no matter what comes our way, Christ is always with us. Always. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's always with us. All the time. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Now, I've found that my brethren in Christ are closer to me than my own brothers, but Christ is even closer to me than you guys who I love dearly, and my dear sisters in Christ, too. And Christ is closer to you than I even am to you. Isn't that amazing? He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He loves us so much, beloved, that he died on Calvary's cross for us to save us from our sins. He manifested that love. Let us never forget that. When we see in verse 21 that she puts the young child on the bed in the room that her husband and her had made for Elijah, and then she shuts the door. She just shuts him in there. Now, we who are the people of God have experienced tribulation in this life. Every single believer goes through tribulation in this life and trials. And I was thinking about this today, and some of the trials that I went through myself, they'd have crushed me without the Lord, carrying me through them. You and I were talking, saying about that footprints in the sand. And, he's carried me my whole life. And he's carried me through some heavy trials. And you too, all of us as believers. Hey, and he's proven to be faithful, hasn't he? He's proven to be so faithful. My, oh my. You know, I think it was Hawker said this. He said, the believer does not enter glory on a flowery bed of ease. Nor is it given unto you not only to believe on Christ, but also to suffer for his name's sake. We're going to suffer as God's people. We're going to suffer persecution for what we believe. And we're going to go through trials and tribulations in our lives. And many in our congregation are in times of trial, just as tonight, going through, it may be a medical trial. It might be a heartache. It might be mental strain. It may be caused from concern for our family members and our friends who do not know Christ. That weighs on us, doesn't it? That weighs on us as we continually bring them before the throne of grace. And God's people experience trial and tribulations all through this life. You know, even before the Lord saved us and the trials and stuff we went through even then, or tribulations, although we didn't know they were all for our good and for God's glory, and God took us right through them all. You ever think about, wow, why didn't I die back then when I was doing this crazy thing that I shouldn't have done? As you said, Brother Zane, it's not your time. It's not my time. Isn't that amazing? Oh my, God's got a point of time for us to take us home, but that wasn't our time. And I know for me, I can look back and I've talked to lots of you to know enough that we can look back in our lives before the Lord saved us and go, I didn't die there. No, we weren't regenerated yet, were we? The Spirit of the Son hadn't come into our hearts yet, where we now cry, Abba, Father. But that was all purposed and planned by God, wasn't it? It's amazing. I'll tell you what, it'll give you shivers when you look back like that with a providential eye and look back on your life and go, look at that. Look, you'll see deliverance after deliverance after deliverance after deliverance. My, oh my. It's incredible. And sometimes he delivers saints home. Right? Sometimes, Zane, you and Dee too, both your spouses, they've been delivered home. Right? They're not in pain anymore. They're rejoicing before the throne of God. My, oh my. And we'll see him again. It'll be quick because this life is like a vapor. It won't be long. It won't be long. My, oh my. So imagine the time had passed. This child was obviously, he was growing. And this time had passed. His heart being knit together with his mom, and again the child falls sick, his head hurts, and he dies. And she put the child in Elijah's bed, closed the door to the room, and what did she do? She made haste and sought out the prophet. She sought him. I would exhort anyone who does not know Christ, seek Christ. seek him. He's the only hope for sinners. The only hope for sinners. The only hope. My, oh my. If God's given you an interest in Christ and in the things of Christ, seek him. He never turned away one, has he? Not one, ever. No. Oh, may God make you willing to flee to him, to seek him. Seek the Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now her husband told her that it was a waste of time. We'll see that in verse 23. He put forth religious reasons for not bothering the prophet. Look at verses 22 to 24. And she called her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." And he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today?" Why? Why? You can't help. The boy is dead. Oh, my. It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. It's not a religious holiday. Why are you going to see him? And she said, look at this. Look at this response. Look at this response, beloved. It shall be well. That's what I should have named the message. It shall be well. We can say that even in sickness, can't we? If the Lord doesn't heal us and takes us home, it shall be well, right? And if he heals us while we're on earth, it shall be well. Either way, no matter what comes our way, it shall be well. It shall be well. My, oh my. He's so good to us. It shall be well. And then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." Let's go as quick as we can. Let's make haste. Let's seek out the prophet. Let's seek him out. In those words in verse 23, they bring forth the faith that this woman has in our great God. It shall be well. It shall be well. God's people can say that, can't we? The husband was like, "What are you doing? You're just wasting your time." He shows his unbelief. A lot of commentators, myself too, I don't even think he knew the Lord. It's obvious she did. But he's like, why even bothering him? Our son is dead. It's not a special holiday. Why go see the prophet? Well, this Shuhamite woman, she's gonna go right to the one who said you're gonna have a child. She going right to Elijah, right? Oh my. Do you know she believed? Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. You know, I believe that she went to that the prophet because she believed that Elijah could raise him from the dead. And we have a picture of that very thing happening with Abraham, beloved. So Abraham's not the only one who believed God could raise people from the dead. This Shuhamite lady believed that too. Why else would she go to the prophet? Look at this in Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, this is amazing. And think of this too. This wasn't presumption on her part. This was the same faith being exercised that Abraham had. Remember when he raised the knife to kill Isaac? He believed that if he had to plunge that knife into Isaac, that God would just raise him up again. How do we know that? Let's read the text here. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 to 18. And this is the same faith that the Shulamite woman had, that God would just raise the son up. If he wills. If he wills. Look at this. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, and he was tried, wasn't he? He raised that knife above his son. He's tried. Offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. So he's offering up the one, right? Who's going to have the 12 children, 12 boys. He's offering them up. He whom the 12 tribes of Israel is going to come from. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Look at that. Judah. Christ came from the lineage of Judah, didn't he? The line of Judah. He's called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Look at this. According that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he had received him in figure. So he believed. He believed God would, if I put that knife in my son, God's just going to raise him up again. He's just going to raise him up again. Now this woman, this Shuhamite woman, she was grieving over her. This is her only son and the death of her only child. But she was also believing and trusting God. She was a believer, and we see that she desired to seek the Lord because she's going to seek out his prophet. She's going to seek out God's prophet. And she believed that Elijah, by the power of our great God, could raise her child, just as we saw. Abraham believed the same thing. And remember, again, in the book of Hebrews, by the hand of Paul from the Holy Spirit of God, Abraham believed, again, that God could raise his son. And we see here in our text that he was not alone in believing this. Because this Shuhamite woman believes the same thing. Believes the same thing. And so what does he do? Or what does she do? She seeks out the prophet. She seeks out the only one who can give life to her son. Knowing that it's going to be God who's going to work through him to do that. Oh my. And so marvel, beloved of God, at the faith of this woman. Her faith was in God's covenant love and mercy. She was firmly persuaded that the gracious God who gave her this child, again, unasked for on her part, unsought after on her part, that our great God could just as easily restore him to her again. So she hastens to the prophet. My, oh my. My, oh my. And take note that she leaves her dead child to fly to the living God. She leaves her dead child to go and seek out God's prophet. There's no preparation for his burial. Notice that. She wasn't preparing for a burial. Usually when someone dies, we prepare for a burial. We contact the funeral home and things are getting... She'd not done nothing of that, has she? She put the body in the room where Elijah stays. No preparation for a funeral. She's confident. She's confident that God can raise her son again. And she tells her husband, all's going to be well. And like a true descendant and daughter of Abraham, she goes in faith and confidence to God, accounting that God was able to raise him from the dead. Is this not what we are to do during our trials and tribulations? It is, isn't it? Seek God. Fly to the Savior. Make haste. We're to seek him out. Plead for grace and mercy in times of need. At our blessed Savior's throne, which is called the throne of grace. And the scriptures tell us we shall obtain grace to help in time of need. Mercy. We find mercy in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And marvel at God's pardoning love for his people in Christ. Marvel. Marvel that we have continual access to God through Christ. We can talk to God any time, beloved. We can go to the throne of grace at any time. There's nothing too small. There's nothing too big that we bring to Christ. Nothing. He desires to hear from us. Isn't that wonderful? We're the people. We're the people of his choice. We're the people of his love. We're the people of his mercy. We're the people of his grace. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And when the dark clouds of providence come into our lives, and they do, let us always remember that the dark clouds will pass. They're past. They're all part of God's plan. And soon the bright rays of providence will shine through. But what, during those dark clouds, what do we learn to do? We learn to fly to the Savior, don't we? We learn to flee to him. As I said earlier, we've all experienced that. We just fly to him. Lord, help me. Help me or I perish. My, have mercy on me, Lord. My, oh my. Now, we do not have the prophet Elijah to intercede for us, and that's what she was doing. She was going to Elijah for him to intercede for her, which again is a picture of Christ. But you know what? We have one infinitely higher than Elijah. Infinitely more powerful than Elijah. Because Elijah's just a man like you and I. We have one more infinitely powerful. One who's always willing to intercede for us. He is our interceder. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God over all. And think of this too. He's God over all the prophets, isn't he? He's the one they speak of. That's who we get to go to, beloved. It's amazing. We have Jesus, Jehovah's high priest. We have him, beloved. We have him. An everlasting advocate. There's never a time when the Lord is not our advocate. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. He's our advocate with the Father. And he's also the propitiation of our sins. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. The sinless, spotless sacrifice, dying for sinners. And he accomplished eternal salvation for us by his work. That's why I say he is salvation. He is salvation. It's Christ. He's our salvation, beloved. My, oh my. So during our times of trials and troubles, let us learn just to flee to the Savior. Let us learn just to seek him out. And you know what will happen? They won't disappear, but they're going to start to fade away a little bit. And he's going to help us get through them. And one day, eventually, they'll be gone. They'll be gone. My, oh my. Let's continue reading from verses 25 to 31 now. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Behold, yonder is the Shuhamite." Look at that. He recognizes her. He recognizes her. He has affection for her. It's the Shuhamite. The Lord knows his sheep, doesn't he? He knows the sheep from the goats. And here Elijah's like, "Oh, it's the Shuhamite." And then look what he says. "Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, 'Is it well with thee?'" He cares about her. He's concerned about her, beloved. "Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And she answered, look what she answers. "It is well." Her child's dead. And she answers, "It's well." What great faith. Oh my. She's resting in the Lord, isn't she? I like how when we ask each other how we're doing, we say better than we deserve. Because we know it's well. It's well. Look at that. And when she came to the man of God, to the hill, look at this. She caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me." God doesn't reveal all his workings of providence, beloved. But we know enough just to trust him and to rest in him. Then she said, "Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" She's saying here, "I didn't ask for a son." And she said, "Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. Lay my staff upon the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." She's clinging to Elijah. She goes, "I ain't leaving you." Is that not how we are with Christ? "I'm not leaving you, Lord." He won't let us go. But she declared, don't we just cling to our Savior? "I'm not going to let you go, Lord. I know I'm such a sinner, but I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go, Lord." Oh my, when I saw that today, I was just so full of joy when I saw that. That's all of us, isn't it? "Oh, I'll not leave thee." I like that. "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, "The child is not awakened." So the laying on of the staff didn't do anything. And take note of verses 27 and 28 again. "And when she went, and when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, 'Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me.' Then she said, 'Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I say, do not deceive me?'" And so take note again of the great degree of feeling in which she seeks Elijah. She's clinging to him. She's just clinging to him, beloved. Her whole soul was in action here, and her body participated. It's evident in her catching hold of the prophet. She didn't. Now Gehazi, by his reaction, several commentators said, and I believe this too by reading it a little bit more and looking at, he believed that she was doing that in anger. Like, "What have you done?" No. Elijah recognized it. Elijah knew how much she loved him. No, it wasn't done in anger, but it was done in love. And again, we see that Elijah sees that by her looks and by her words, spoken in mercy, fervent pleading. He says, "Leave her alone. Let her be." Because he was going to grab her and pull her off him. Elijah said, "Let her be. Leave her alone. Leave her alone. Her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me." My, oh my. Note something here too as well. She brings forth that she did not desire a son of Elijah. She didn't ask for him. Let us ask ourselves, did we desire the son? Did we ask for him? No, we didn't, did we? In our natural state, we didn't desire him. We didn't ask for him. Did not God seek you and I in love? Did he not send the Holy Spirit to woo us to Christ? To draw us with, the scripture says, cords of love? He did it because we had no desire for him. And then he gave us a desire, and we sought him, didn't we? We seeked him out. But only because we're made willing in the day of God's power. Did we even know that we needed a Savior before we were saved? Did we even know that? Somebody might have told us. We just blew it off. No, I don't know. I'm not a sinner. Meanwhile, we're sinners from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. Now we willingly admit we're sinners, don't we? Saved by the grace of God. And did not our words and actions in our natural state not cry out, "We shall not have this man rule over us"? It's true, isn't it? Our words and our actions cried that out, even though we never said that verbally. But our words and actions cried that out. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ sent his Spirit into our hearts, he conquered our stubborn nature, didn't he? We have a new nature now. He made us willing in the day of his power. So shall we then doubt his love? No, right? We shouldn't. This Shulamite woman wasn't doubting Elijah's love, was she? In God's love, she was clinging to the prophet. Well, we cling to the prophet of prophets, the Lord Jesus Christ. We cling to him. And did our Father raise such glorious hopes of salvation in us? And will he now disappoint those who are the apple of his eye? Nope. Oh, Lord Jesus, may you teach us a lesson from the Shulamite's faith as she caught your servant Elijah by the feet and just clung on to him. Laid hold of him. May we lay hold of Christ, beloved, by faith. May we just cling to him. Just cling to him and lie at his feet. And may God give us the grace to do so. Look at verse 30. And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And she arose and followed her. I ask you, beloved of God, was not God's love for us expressed in his actions in sending his Son to die for our sins before we even knew him? His love was shown, wasn't it? God had graciously given her a son. But remember, God graciously gave his son for the redemption of our eternal souls. Willingly. To save us from all our sins. So in both instances, was not the fact of the blessing of this Shulamite woman with a child and the blessing of God giving his son to die for us in his thoughts first? We didn't even think about it, did we? We didn't even think about it. See, God planned our salvation. God executed our salvation in time and space. We're being gathered out of this world in time and space. And we will go to a place where time is no more. Isn't that wonderful? It's absolutely wonderful. Listen to this verse and think about the believers in Christ. I bring my righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. Isaiah 46:13. This is the Lord saying this. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion, right in the midst of her. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is Zion. He's placed salvation in the midst of her. The preaching of Christ and him crucified. That's Christ. He's the salvation placed in the midst of Zion for Israel, my glory. Oh, my. You know, we're spiritual Israel. Isn't that wonderful? It's absolutely wonderful. So marvel that we've been given faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and marvel that, God's given us grace to exercise this faith, too. To exercise the faith that we have. Our Lord is the foundation of our faith, isn't he? We have no other foundation but Christ. You take Christ out of what we believe and we have nothing. We have nothing. No salvation. Nothing. No justification. No sanctification. But if we have Christ, we have all those things. All those things, beloved. And we rest our eternal souls on the Messiah, on the Lord Jesus Christ, just as this Shulamite woman did. We trust God by God-given faith, being shown grace and mercy in and through Christ. See, it all goes back to him. We can't claim any of it. Even the faith that we believe God with is given to us. Isn't that wonderful? Everything we need for the salvation of our souls is all in Christ. It's all in Christ. And then God gives us faith by being born again of the Holy Spirit of God, gives us faith to believe on the one thing needful, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's just incredible. Now let's read verses 32 to 37 where we see the wonder-working power of God in raising the Shulamite woman's son from the dead. Start in verse 32. And when Elijah was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in, therefore, and shut the door upon the twain and prayed unto the Lord. So he lifts up the young child to the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shulamite." So he called her. And when she was come unto him, he said, "Take up thy son." Then she went in and fell at his feet. That's what we do with Christ. We fall at his feet, don't we? We fall at the Lord's feet. And bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Again, Elijah's a picture of Christ here. Elijah, he's a picture of Christ. Now remember that the rising of the dead soul to spiritual life, no preacher can raise someone from their spiritual deadness. Even Elijah couldn't do this. It was God. In God alone who did this. It was his power exercised. And we can see that preachers can't bring any life, first of all, by Gehazi. Here he could put the word like the prophet's staff out, lay it out before the people's faces, but it's neither voice nor hearing until Christ by his Spirit comes and gives life. See, I come up and I speak about Christ and tell you all about Christ. But unless the Holy Spirit takes those words and make them effectual, they're just, that's why unbelievers, they just fall on dead ears. But if God, the Holy Spirit, does a work, there's life in his word. There's life in his word, isn't there? So we're to preach the gospel and just let it out. Leave it out there. We're announcing Christ and him crucified. Isaiah said, "Who hath believed the report?" We're just proclaiming the report. Christ Jesus saves sinners. Saves sinners. My, oh my. My, oh my. And only God the Holy Spirit can give life. A good example of that is in the Valley of Dry Bones, remember? Remember the Lord told the prophet, "Speak to the bones." They start rattling. Keep prophesizing. They're rattling some more. But it's only until God gives life. It's only until God breathes upon them that they come alive. What a picture of regeneration. Preacher preaches the gospel and the Holy Spirit takes those words, right? Shows the sinner Christ. Life. Breathes the breath of life. Isn't that amazing? It's absolutely incredible. It's all God. He gets all the glory. He gets all the honor. He gets all the praise. And that's why men see it as foolishness, me up here preaching the gospel. Look at that. What is that fella doing? But see, God uses the foolish. His wisdom is greater than the foolishness of man. Because little do they know, it's not my words, it's God using those. Using the word of God to give life. To give life. It's all Him. It's all by His power, beloved. And that's why we as believers rejoice that our salvation is of the Lord. It's His mighty power that saved us. We're born again by His almighty power. Praise God, He didn't leave us where we were. But because we were sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. Now we cry, Abba, Father. In Mark, in verse 33, the prophet praying to Jehovah. And note the graciousness of God in this passage before us. We see God teaching the early church by such miracles the blessed doctrine of the resurrection. This child's dead. This child's dead. It's a foreshadowing that God's going to raise His people up. Right? He gave us life, didn't He? We were dead. We were spiritually dead. It's also a picture of us rising from the grave. Our bodies rising from the grave too. When our souls will be reunited with our bodies. We have a new body, beloved. A new body. Oh, it's wonderful. But God must breathe the breath of life upon us, or else we'll be dead. We'll be living corpses. Unless the Holy Spirit does a work. That's why the Lord says you must be born again. It's the Spirit's work. What did our Lord tell Martha? Turn, if you would, to John chapter 11. Take note, too. I want to bring a couple things out here. Take note of the striking differences here between the miracles of Jesus and those of His servants, which acted in His name and by His authority. Elijah acted in the name of God and by the authority of God. But take note of the difference in these miracles. I'm going to run these first quick. Elijah prayed unto the Lord. Jesus commanded the dead to rise. Elijah's just a man like you and I. So he prays to the Lord, please heal him. Bring him back to life. But the Lord commands the dead to rise. Lazarus, come forth! Right? The servant acted in the Lord's name. Jesus does it all for His own. In His own name. For the glory of God the Father. Because He has all power. And what prophet, what servant of Jehovah ever said as Jesus did, I am the resurrection and the life? Not one of them. But Christ, the prophet of prophets, says, I am the resurrection and the life. Remember, He's prophet, priest, and king, right? He's the prophet of prophets. Look at this, John chapter 11, verses 24 to 27. Wonderful words here. The Lord's talking to Martha about Lazarus, and He's saying He's going to live again. And Martha says this. She says in verse 24, Martha saith unto Him, I know that He shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I know from the teaching that He's going to rise again. Oh my, she... See, and I, you know what? We're just like Martha. We're just like Martha. Look at this. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Look at that. Let's read that again. This verse is outstanding. He is proclaiming to Martha, little Martha, he's proclaiming to her who he is, who he really is. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We were dead, weren't we? Spiritually. And by God-given faith, we believe now. And now we live. We're alive spiritually. Now we're going to physically die again, but we're going to go to glory, beloved. Well, we're going to live forever. And look at this. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now here's the question of questions. For anyone who's listening, believest thou this? Believest thou this? That's a question for everyone. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe? Look at her response. This is a response of a believer. I love this. Yea, Lord! Yea, Lord! I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, which should come into the world. You're the Messiah, Lord! Oh, isn't that wonderful? That's what we cry out, isn't it, as believers? Right? Remember Peter? Where shall we go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We got nowhere to go, Lord, but you. We got no. And she so quickly, yea, Lord. By God-given faith. That's a miracle, isn't it? It's wonderful. She understands now what he said by the grace and mercy of God, doesn't she? And who but God himself could, in confirmation of this blessed truth, have commanded the dead like Lazarus to come forth? Elijah couldn't raise that boy up by his own. God had to do it. God did it. Elijah had no power to raise his child back to life. This is a mighty act of God. Mighty act of Jehovah. And again, it points to the Lord Jesus Christ raising us from our spiritual deadness, from the dead state we are in by birth, nature, and choice. And now we're raised. We're raised, beloved. Now we live spiritually alive. And he raised the dead. Think of this. Christ raised the dead to life as one having authority. He said, damsel, arise. He said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He says it with authority. There's no doubt. He doesn't say, well, if you choose to, come on out. The person's dead. They're not going to come out. Not going to do nothing, right? They're dead. But he who is the power of, has the power of, he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He says, damsel, rise. What happens? She rises. He says, young man, I say unto thee, arise. What happens? He arises from the dead. He says, Lazarus, come forth. What happens? He arises. He said, one time, Zane, my child, come forth. And you couldn't do anything but come forth. He said, Dee, come forth. Wayne, come forth. Raise us up from our spiritual deadness to life. Life in Christ. My, oh my. And we can't help but say, oh, glorious Father, thank you, thank you. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for raising us up from our spiritual deadness. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for translating us into the kingdom of the dear of God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, from the kingdom of darkness that we were locked in, dead. My, we have life now, beloved. Look at verses 36 and 37 again. It says here, and he called Gehazi and said, call this Shulamite. So he called her, and when she came in unto him, he said, "Take up thy son." Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her servant. And when I imagine the joy in her heart, she'd be rejoicing, wouldn't she? Now think of this. Note verse 36. Oh my. Does this not picture too the resurrection of the bodies of believers the last day? It'll be accomplished by a call, won't it? Come forth. Every one of them graves is going to rip open, isn't it? Turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Should not God call our bodies to arise and then being joined with our souls as a glorified body, we're no longer partaking the corruption of this body. My, we'll be raised incorruptible, beloved. Look at this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 13 to 18. And marvel at this. Marvel at this. This is amazing. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. That ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. That was our normal state. That was our natural state. We had no hope. What a hope we have now. Oh my. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He's going to raise up our vile bodies, but they're going to be translated. My, oh my. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Just like that, be translated. And this is the last day. Notice it's not secret, is it? Folks say, "Oh, that's the rapture." This is very public, beloved. It's not secret. The Lord's coming. When he comes and catches his people up, it's not secret. Oh, no, it's not secret. Look at this. For we say unto you by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, the King of glory, beloved, the Lord himself, shall descend from heaven with a shout. My, what a shout that will be. Remember what happened when he said, "Lazarus, come forth." What happened? Lazarus came forth, didn't he? When he shouts, we're going to come forth, beloved. Our bodies will. Our souls are already being glory. But our bodies will come forth. I'll tell you what. Oh my. With a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. This is public, beloved. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Look at that. Forever. Forever. Wherefore, comfort one another. Comfort one another with these words. Isn't that comforting? My. So, beloved God, rejoice and marvel at the miracle which has been set before us. It pictures the people of God being raised again from our spiritual deadness and also the resurrection. And I ask you, ponder these questions. Did you desire grace? Did you desire Christ when grace found you? Were you looking for Christ when God awakened you to what he'd already done for you? Because I proclaim a work that's finished. It's already done. God did it all. Christ did it all. But were we aware? Were we looking for Christ? Were we even thinking of God when he awakened us to what Christ had already done for us? And did we seek the promise and the tribulation that would follow? No, but Paul calls the pain and sorrow in this world light affliction. It's just light affliction compared to the glory that awaits us, beloved, compared to the glory that awaits us when we see Christ face to face. Face to face. So rejoice, beloved of God. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. All of them. He is the resurrection and the life. And because He lives, we will live. We will live. And we're going to be with Him forever. And so we can say with the Shuhamite woman, it is well. Can't we? It is well. Amen and amen. Brother Sane, can you close us in prayer?